Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Off to the races. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
I love horses. I always have. I always will. I'll admit it. While racing horses is a fraught sport, to say the least, it's also one that really reflects the traditions and misunderstandings of a certain era. I think you'd agree that one of the most fun things about horse racing are the ridiculous horse names. And I'm here to share a story of arguably the most ridiculous racehorse name. Today we're talking about one of the greatest racehorses of the 18th century, a horse named Potatoes, spelled P-O-T-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O. That's 8 O's if you're counting. I can't overemphasize the fact that this horse is still respected to this day. A chestnut colt bred by Willoughby Birdie, 4th Earl of Abingdon, in 1773. He was sired by the undefeated Eclipse, who is considered the greatest racehorse maybe of all time. As a note, the expression Eclipse first, the rest nowhere, an expression of dominance, is from the stellar career of Eclipse the horse. Anyway, also famed for his endurance, many of Potato's 34 victories were at distances over 4 miles, and the stallion raced successfully for 7 years. But why do we remember this perfect example of English thoroughbred breeding and accomplishment? Because his name was Potatoes. There are a lot of stories about how this name came about, but really the gist of all the stories are the same. Willoughby Birdie, also a great name, the 4th Earl of Abingdon, had this horse, Sports Mistress, bred with Eclipse. Sports Mistress had a colt in 1773, and the Earl wanted to name the horse Potatoes. Cute, whatever. The story goes that the Earl told the stable hand to write Potatoes on the young horse's feed bin, and the stable hand, misunderstanding the horse's name or maybe not knowing how to spell Potatoes, broke down the word Potatoes into P-O-T plus 8 O's. So the horse's feed bin said P-O-T-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O, which the Earl loved. Very funny, very tickled by this. So now Potatoes raced formally under the name Potato, again 8 O's, for a few races until, for simplicity's sake, it was shortened to Potatoes P-O-T-8, the number 8, O-S. Let's take a break. Okay, we're back to Potato, P-O-T-O-O-O-O-O-O-O, who raced successfully from 1776 to 1783, accumulating 28 to 34 wins, depending on who you ask. Of course, it's easy to be like, this story isn't real, it's too stupid. And yes, it is stupid, but it's also very real. A little trip to allbreedpedigree.com confirmed that Potatoes was real and has a robust bloodline that continues to this day. After retiring in 1784, Potatoes went to stud at Oxcraft Farm with a stud fee of 5 guineas, gradually increasing to 21 guineas. I literally have no idea what that means, but it sounds very good and expensive. During his career, Potatoes sired 172 winning horses. That's a lot of kids. After Potatoes died in November of 1800, he was buried near a tree in Hare Park, the farm where he'd been retired. His body lay undisturbed for about 200 years, when a storm took down the tree he was buried under and uprooted what's believed to be his remains. Now the skeleton stands within the National Horse Racing Museum in Newmarket, England, in the company of other legendary, though less amazingly named, horses. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up another legendary potato misspelling. For those who don't remember, on June 15th, 1992, Dan Quayle was judging a mock spelling bee in Trenton, New Jersey, at the middle school. In a room filled with press, Quayle called the 12-year-old William Figueroa to the board and asked him to spell potato. Figueroa, confident, correctly spelled potato, erased the word, and went to sit down. He thought he had it in the bag, of course. But then Quayle stopped him, saying, "Hold on now, add a little to the end there." Confused, William added an E to the end of the word and then quickly erased it, which again, what he does after you spell the word. He then sat in his seat as a room full of adult humans applauded the incorrect spelling of potato. It wasn't until a reporter came up to Figueroa later that the 12-year-old realized that he was right in the spelling of potato all along. I remember this being an absolute bloodbath for VP Dan Quayle. He was labeled an idiot, and honestly, he probably never lived it down. Quote, "It was more than a gaffe," Quayle later wrote in his memoirs. "It was a defining moment of the worst imaginable kind. I can't overstate how discouraging and exasperating this whole event was. But hey, I concede, I think we can officially say that potato may be historically a tricky word to spell."